escaping a land of smoke and mirrors, obfuscation, and confusion, and into a space of liberty-inducing veracity and reason. In this new land, divergence from the secularist status quo is the zenith of human existence. Welcome to Absolute Truth, Absolutely. Transmission begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Absolute Truth, Absolutely podcast. This is your host, Gio, youth pastor of LWIM in Miami, Florida, Living Word Youth Ministries. Going solo today. Unfortunately, Sarai could not join me due to previous scheduling conflicts, and therefore, I will go solo today. I'm sad about that, of course. I rather enjoy our conversations in which you, the listener, are a part of. And we do appreciate your constant patronage and tuning in. But at the same time, the show must go on, as they used to say, in vaudeville. Some of you who are too young to even know what vaudeville is might ask, what is vaudeville? Wikipedia it. I don't have the time nor the desire to elucidate on that on this program. But what I would like to expound upon on today's edition of the podcast is a few news items that came to my attention, thanks to my father, who passed this along to me, and I would like to comment on this because I think this is of utmost importance. This showcases to us exactly what the Bible said beforehand. Look, I've said it before. Jesus Christ rewards those of us whom believe in him simply because we believe his words. The Bible tells us that God counted Abraham a friend, and he imputed to him righteousness because he believed God. God rewards us if we simply believe him, believe in him. Signs and wonders, those are all fine. But the Bible does say that these will follow those that believe, not that those that will believe should follow these. We are not subservient to knowing whether or not God is present somewhere, someplace, because we see signs and wonders. I've seen a plethora of Christians being misled by this misinterpretation, ignorance of the scriptures. How do we know God is present? Well, Jesus tells us, where two are gathered in his name, he is present. And also, the Bible informs us of God's nature, the entirety of the book. It informs us of whom God is and what he expects from us. And let me tell you, this testimony is signed in bloodshed because of our Christian brethren in the past who were martyred to pass along this God's word unto humanity. Why would God sacrifice himself, of course? And then, of course, we're speaking about Jesus Christ here. And why would he expend so much effort to get us his word if now, in this modernist day and age that we are living in, we are following men's whims and we really are left without any destination, any proper course before we even begin? And why do I say this? Well, if we didn't have any idea of whom God is, what his attributes are, we'd be lost. We'd be confused. But God gives us, he establishes a plan for us through his word. He communicates his will to us through the word of God, through the scriptures. But it seems as if today Christians have no guiding post. They are as boats in the midst of the ocean without any wind, without any direction. They are floating in a vastless sea without any destination. Why? Because they don't read the Bible. They don't accept God's word, believe God, his authoritative word. And this is why we have so many persons believing so many falsehoods, because they do not take God at his word. For further proof, I have two examples for today's programming. The first comes to us from the state of Florida, from where we transmit, and our congregants also live. And you are not going to believe what is going on in schools now, ladies and gentlemen. Let me refer you to this recent report in which in Orange County, groups have been asking the local school board for permission to hand out Bibles, and they were granted access to do so. Atheists complained about this and said they should be able to be given free access to pass out pamphlets and propagandistic materials, and so did Satanists. So now, the Satanists won end on the action, and they began to distribute coloring books of satanic activities. Just as you have heard, dear listener, a coloring book for children for satanic activities. And one of the local leaders of the Satanist cult in that area stated, and I'm going to paraphrase this, that if Christians can hand out propagandistic materials, then we should be able to rebuttal that. And I would ask, isn't what the Satanists are doing propagandistic in nature also? Now, many will argue from the naturalistic point of view and a constitutional point of view, saying, Gio, but if Christians have access to schools to proselytize, then all should, you know, many other groups should also have the same access. But the truth of the matter is that school is a place for education. It's a place where we send our children to learn mathematics, science, literature. We are not paying our taxes in order to support schools that seek to indoctrinate our children. That should be left up to the parents. If the parents are Christians, then the parents should communicate that to the children. Unfortunately, I know this is going to sound horrendous on my part, being a Christian and all, but freedom is freedom. And there are going to be parents that are going to proselytize to their children about being Catholics and atheists and Satanists and what have you. But those people are doing an evil thing according to the scriptures. Why do you say this, Gio? Well, if we visit Romans chapter number 1, it tells us in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to him. In other words, God implanted his word. He gave us the preponderance of evidence in our hearts before we would know what the evidence is to acknowledge his existence. So we know, we come to the world understanding that there is a creator. God exists. But what happens? You have the indoctrinators of our day and age whom begin the arduous task, but they are given to it because they absolutely abhor Christianity and the Western culture that it has produced. Therefore, they undertake this vicious, vindictive enterprise of counteracting Christian efforts to bring people into the fold. Some might rebuff, Gio, but you don't believe that we should promulgate the gospel, that we should preach the gospel in schools and in public places? Well, I would dare say yes, but the problem with that argument, and I've seen it increasingly in libertarian circles, is if Christians can have access because it is a public edifice, then all others should also have public access if they are paying taxes for it. So I think there are other ways to go around it. I'm not advocating for the abandonment of employment of public spaces in order to proselytize. That is not what I am arguing. But I think there are much more efficient and smarter ways to share the gospel with our friends. Well, how do we do that? Well, that's very easy. Community outreach. We've done it as a church for many years. We take certain Saturdays out of every month and we go around our neighborhood and we pass out pamphlets and also personal evangelism. We have forsaken that as a church. We expect the church hierarchy to do it by themselves, but we as Christians do not proselytize ourselves. You see, we're depending on churches to go into schools and hand out Bibles. But what happened to individual Christians heading into schools and handing out Bibles themselves? You see, you are a civic participant. You are a citizen, and you have the same rights that the church does, because you are equally a taxpayer. Well, some of you, not yet. There are young listeners of this show, and some of you are not paying taxes yet. But if you are a law-abiding citizen and you begin working, you are going to begin paying your taxes, and therefore you have access to public utilities. And therefore, your parents, since they are paying taxes and you are assisting that school, you have the right to do that because that is your building. You're paying for that. Your parents, at least, first are before you begin to work. So you have the right to do that, but we expect the church to do it, you see. The church can do it. Why should I undertake this? Well, we have to understand also that many are closeted Christians. They don't want to expose the fact that they believe in Jesus Christ. They're ashamed of promulgating the gospel. So why are you a Christian then? I would ask you. Some will say, Gio, but I'm afraid of being rejected. They rejected the Messiah and they hung him on a cross for it. What's the worst that can happen to you, at least in our country? You'll be mocked, ridiculed. I know there are many other things. I don't ignore the fact that there are many other sincere Christians that are suffering pecuniarily and have lost economic sustenance because they have lived their faith and tried to live, adhere to the convictions in their heart and in their mind and what is advised in the biblical text. But most of the time, Christians, the worst that can happen to them in this country is being ridiculed. So what? So many people are ridiculed and they're not Christians, and yet they stand firm in what they believe in. It could be wrong, but that doesn't deter them from continuing to have faith in what they adhere to. So why should we? Why are Christians always the ones to compromise? So here we have one example of how facetious this idea could be. I mean, some people ask, Gio, but wasn't this what the founding fathers had envisaged? That they would, yes, I just said envisaged. That's another term for envision. There are persons that would advocate, say, Gio, but wouldn't the founding fathers have wanted this? I don't think so. I mean, if you read their writings, they all, to a man, said that Christianity was absolutely beneficial to society, and they'd wanted that promulgated throughout American culture. But I think they would have been very hard-pressed, any person would have been very hard-pressed to convince any of the founding fathers that it would be beneficial to promulgate the supposed benefits, if there are any, which there aren't, to advocating Satanism. Very hard-pressed, because Satanism, if you know anything about it, attributes glory and worship to the devil himself. And the doctrines of Satanism is that Satan was wronged by God in the beginning, and therefore he deserves humans' adoration, adulation, and praise, and veneration, whatever term you can apply here to speak about being subservient to the prince of darkness. But notwithstanding all of what we've just said, please consider what is going on in our culture. These persons are vindictive. They absolutely abhor Christianity. And wherever they see it promulgated, they want to counteract it. It was not this way 30, 40 years ago in the country, ladies and gentlemen. Folks, I can inform you, it was not this way. This would have been mocked, derided. As a matter of fact, it would have been openly denounced even by persons, even politicians, who weren't Christians, would have denounced this. They would have said, what? Really? Satan is handing out coloring books in schools? How egregious. Please stop those persons. Please remove them. Because 30, 40 years ago, at least, more persons were more clear thinking than the reprobate minded among us. And there seems to be more and more of them, scores of them, in increasing amounts on a yearly basis. This is what happens when the gospel is not preached. When God is not to be believed by man, because we have bought into the lie that is secular humanism. And what is secular humanism? Someone might ask, the elimination of God from the equation of on all matters human, that humans are the epicenter of the creation, and that the answers for all of life's conundrums can be found within ourselves. This is what psychology believes, and this is why I am a staunch advocate against the religion of psychology. And yes, it is a religion that people have adhered to when it's not science. They have tried to apply to themselves the tag of science when they are not. But this is what happens when we divert from preaching the gospel. The accurate message found in the biblical texts. This is what happens. So what can we do? Personal evangelism, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot stress this enough. Personal evangelism. Are you speaking to your friends, to your family, your coworkers, your boss, your co-pupils, people you encounter on the street, strangers, mere strangers? Are you telling them the good news? If you're not, it's time to do so. It's time to do your job, be a part of the great commission that Jesus Christ had entrusted us, his church, with. And that's the problem. The church in the Western world is not communicating this truth, the eternal truths of the gospel, to this generation, and therefore the deterioration in moral sensibility. This is why Western culture 30, 40 years ago, at least, you could say that there was still a strain of morality running through society. Not anymore. Now we hear of all of these lunacies that are being undertaken in the name of freedom, which in fact it is a libertinism. It's not freedom. And one asks, you ask yourself, what is going on here? In utter disbelief, perplexed at how many cannot sense the deleterious ideologies that they are propagating. They can't see it. They don't see it. They're blinded to it. Second point, or second report I'd like to point out in this edition of the ATA podcast, Richard Dawkins is at it again. And we'll wrap this up by bringing the foundational point of this message. Richard Dawkins informed Trinity College in Dublin a few days ago that children need to be protected from religious indoctrination in schools. And he was backed by the Atheist Ireland campaign. And they would like to overhaul the education system to eliminate any mention of creationism in public schools. And on Tuesday evening, he said, quote, "There is a balancing act, and you have to balance the rights of parents and the rights of children. And I think the balance has swung too far towards parents." Well, there you are. An atheist counteracting, contradicting the dictates of the Bible, which says that parents are the ones that are ultimately responsible and the arbiters of their children's existence until, of course, those children mature. He continues, children do need to be protected so that they can have a proper education and not be indoctrinated in whatever religion their parents happen to have been brought up in, end quote. Right, government intervention, Big Brother, George Orwell. Let us have thought police ubiquitously through society to find out what it is that people are believing and stop them, because we can't have that evil indoctrination, you see. And I would dare ask Professor Dawkins, would you affirm that what you are advocating for is not indoctrination? Because evolution cannot be proven, even though you adhere, and scientists like yourself have said that the holy grail of science is the scientific method. Observation, repetition in a lab, observable in the real world. Evolution cannot be proven by any scientific method whatsoever, and yet you preach about it, you pontificate about it, as if it were law, when it's not, and it's not observable. And your silly excuse to try to make persons, feeble-minded individuals, believe, and that is, it takes millions of years. Curious. Why do I bring these two points up? Well, the children are the epicenter. They are the targets of the indoctrination, folks. And it's curious because when I read Matthew chapter number 18, Jesus has something very, very, very cutting to say to persons that attempt to rewrite the wiring, the code that God has written in the minds and hearts of all of us. Geo, of all of us? I just read from Romans chapter 1. He has made manifest to us, God, that is, that he exists. We come predisposed into the world understanding that God exists. And even scientific studies have backed this up. Back in 2008, Dr. Justin Barrett, he's a senior researcher at the University of Oxford Center for Anthropology and Mind. He claimed, and still does, that young people have a predisposition to believe in a supreme being because they assume that everything in the world was created with a purpose. And he says that young children have faith even when they have not been taught about it by family or at school, and argues that even those raised alone on a desert island would come to believe in God. Quote from the Telegraph newspaper, "The preponderance of scientific evidence for the last 10 years or so," notice how he said preponderance, "the majority of scientific evidence for the past 10 years or so has shown that a lot more seems to be built into the natural development of children's minds than we once thought." I would ask Richard Dawkins, so did evolution program us to believe in God? Including a predisposition to see the natural world as designed and purposeful, and that some kind of intelligent being is behind that purpose. If I threw a handful on an island and they raised it themselves, I think they would believe in God. Wow. Isn't that curious? In one study, 6- and 7-year-olds who were asked why the first bird existed replied, "To make music, and because it makes the world look nice." Another experiment on a 12-month-old baby and others suggested that they were surprised by a film in which a rolling ball apparently created a neat stack of blocks from a disordered heap. Dr. Barrett said there's evidence that even by age 4, children understand that although some objects are made by humans, the natural world is different. He added that this means children are more likely to believe in creationism rather than evolution, despite what they may be told by parents or teachers. Did you know that still 60% of Americans, even with all of the evolutionary hogwash that is promulgated through our society, like National Discovery Channel, or rather National Geographic, I'm sorry, Discovery Channel, and other outlets that continually are trying to imbibe Americans in evolution, millions of years, still 60% at this point, even though the gospel is not being promulgated very accurately nowadays, still 60% believe that God created the heavens and the earth in a literal six-day creation period. It goes to show you that God's wiring is very difficult to rewire, but it does not deter the enemies of God from continuing to do so. Now, Jesus gives us a very, 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 very stark warning to persons whom would attempt to rewire children specifically. Why? Because they are impressionable. Children need to be taught. They need to be taken by the hand and educated. And if a person, or if the person that is employing or undertaking that education is not going to advocate for truth, then that is a dangerous situation to be in, according to Jesus. He says in Matthew 18:3, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Some might say that's harsh. I would say that's just. Because there is no opportunity for a child to rebuff your fallacious advances if you are a worker of evil. And therefore, it is easier to work to impress younger minds that don't have defenses built in through years of being properly educated, and you're attempting, as an evil individual, to place within them ideologies that counteract, that try to erase, rewrite, as it were, the wiring that God has himself placed within us. Some might say, but Gio, isn't that evil of God himself to make us, to wire us this way? No, because if God wants our salvation, if God wants us to be permanent, if he wants us to give, you know, he wants to imbibe us in life, then why would that be evil? I thank God that he gave me that wiring, that predisposition to believe in him. Otherwise, I don't have free will. Otherwise, if you really think upon it, how do I make a decision for Christ if I didn't have at least some understanding in my mind that God exists? How many atheists have come to the feet of the Lord throughout the years, even though they viciously spoke evil against God for so many years? Those of us on this side looking to them would, and we've stated this before, why is it that even though these persons say they don't believe in God, they speak about him as if he existed? Well, because they know he exists. That's why they speak that way. The problem is they don't want to be accountable, or they hate God, like Paul affirms in Romans chapter number 1, verse 26 and on. These people are haters of God, evil-minded, he goes on to state. So, in conclusion for today's edition of the podcast, one must be careful what one lends his or her attention to, even at this stage of the game, folks. God has made manifest to every single one of us, all of humanity, that he exists. And any programming that were to counteract that or rewrite that is a work of the devil. It is certainly evil, wicked, debauched. And we would do very good, a very good thing indeed, if we were not to pay attention to those voices and indeed lend our ear consistently and in a persevering manner to God's dictates, and to pay attention to him and believe him simply because God said it. That should be more than sufficient for all of us to believe, because God said it and because God is immutable. And since he is immutable, that should give us the utmost confidence in him. Hebrews chapter number 1. The foundations were laid by God. The heavens are the work of his hands. And those will pass away. It says that God will fold it like a cloth, but his word remains forever and ever. Let's keep this in mind, shall we? That's all the time I have left for this edition of the podcast, folks. I thank you so much for tuning in. Remember that you can download this very program that you have just heard on Living Word Church Radio through our website. Visit it now, lwym.org, lwym.org, and you can download it. I also ask you to share this with your friends, with your family members, co-workers, co-pupils, teachers, whomever you come in contact with. Let them know about the Absolute Truth Absolutely podcast. It's an aid to help you in evangelizing, speaking the truth to other persons. Through these means, I'd also like to invite you to assist our Wednesday night youth meetings, which take place at 8 p.m. And the direction, the address is 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter for all of the latest updates. Sign up for our email updates on our website. And last but not least, if you have any questions or comments that you would like to direct to my person, please do so by writing me an email. Gio, J-I-O, at lwym.org. J-I-O at lwym.org. I love corresponding with persons. Please send those emails over, and you never know, maybe we will address that very question on this show. Until the next edition that we meet, this has been Gio. May the Lord shine his face upon you.
You've just experienced and become privy to information broadcast and powered by LWYM. Choose what to do with the material as you wish, but a fair warning is in order. Consider conserving it with your life if need be, as said information has been known to preserve the lives of its keepers. Join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for more truth in a world full of uncertainty. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you have any questions or comments you'd like our hosts to address on our broadcast, write to us at info@lwym.org. Transmission end in 3, 2, 1.